Well, welcome, everyone. Sort of a bittersweet day, but a day that's special to our family and team. Coach Belichick is going to speak about Vince's great feats on the field, and I don't think anyone can do that better than he. But I'd just like to just speak for a few moments about the personal relationship that Vince and Bianca and family have had with me and my entire family. You know, I remember at that draft in 04 sitting near Bill, and I think Vince was projected to go in the top 10, and he slipped to 21, and I remember Bill saying, wow, I can't believe that kind of value is there at this point. And I remember how excited he was that we got Vince at that point. And I had seen a little film on him. They had showed me film and what a great athlete he was and how quick and nimble. Someone even said almost like a ballet dancer. And when he came into my office, you know, Jonathan and I have had a history of having pictures with the first round pick. And he came in, I think it was Ben Watson at the time, the two of them. And I saw this huge man come in. And almost, you know, to be a ballet dancer, I would say freakish size. And he was wearing a gold chain with a medallion on it. And, you know, I asked him what that was, and he had pictures of his parents, and he mentioned to me that they had both passed away while he was at Miami, and, you know, it just said what a sense of family, how that was important to him, and that he had been privileged to meet up with Bianca at that time, and continue that sense of family and how he was grounded because of that. And I thought that we had something in common and that we each married strong women who helped us keep our feet on the ground. And, you know, the fact that he had those kind of family values and was respectful of his bride and children, he became one of Meyer's favorites. And when he would come off the field, he was always the last player to come off. He would always go over and give her a kiss, and then he came and gave me a kiss and left the field. And that was really meaningful. And when her health started to decline in 2010, he and Bianca gave me a similar medal to what he was wearing, and it was a picture, my favorite wedding picture of us. And I was really touched by that sentiment and the gift. And, you know, I don't wear jewelry of any kind, or chains. And while Mara was sick having chemotherapy, I did wear it. And she thought it was a little strange. She said, are you trying to be like Rick Ross? Or, you know, and I just explained that it made me feel better. And so it was something that was very meaningful. And the two of them on the back had said, cherish love. And I think that's what Vince in many ways is. He's a big man physically, but he's a very special human being. And for those of us that get a chance to see him in person, we get to know that. And that's why he was such a great member of our team, too. He was very passionate as well. And when my beloved wife passed away, I wore this every day for 11 months. And, you know, the first game that came after she died, where it was here just in August, first preseason game, and he came over and gave me a kiss on one cheek, and then he kissed me on the other cheek and said, "This is for Mama." And then he looked up. And it's just really cool. And I must say he was also dripping sweat. But that was sweat I very much enjoyed sharing. And he kept that up. And for his entire career, he would always give me a kiss for Mama. And so what happened, we have a family trip we do every year, and I'm going to say something now that I don't think anyone outside of my family knows. We decided the year after Myra died to have the family trip in Florence, in Florence. And it was a family vote, and we asked that Bianca and Vince, if they would join us and be part of our family for that week. And they happily did. And we had a memorable time. And I just think of two Vince stories on that trip. One, you know, for any of you who know Italy, the finest artists and leather work is done there. And we went to a little fine leather store, and you know, most Italian men are thin, in Italy at least, thin and well-sculpted, and there were leather jackets, and it was sort of a fixed price, and Vince was getting fitted for this leather jacket, and I don't think the gentleman who was the artist had ever seen anyone that size, and I don't know if it ever, did he ever make it? Yeah, I don't think he could afford it. It was really high-grade leather, and it was a fixed price. And the other fond memory is we went to one of the nicest restaurants in Florence. And I remember Vince saying that he, you know, had camp coming up, and you wanted to eat healthy and just eat protein. And this place was famous for pasta. And they brought many pastas and meat and desserts, and Vince was a full participant in every course, not wanting to make them feel bad. And I checked when he came back here, and he was able to pass his run, but I think he might have been a few pounds overweight and had to pay a fine, which, Bill, I really should have paid because I brought him there. But it was just a great memory, and Bianca and Vince have been so special to us. And I'll just say, as a fan, when that moment of truth came and he had to move on, it was a very sad time for all of us. And as an owner, I understand the business dynamic, and I think for both sides it was probably the right thing. But the good news is he's coming back here and asked to be a patriot for life. So we're going to sign a contract. Vince, I'm going to ask you to come over and one more thing. This is the shirt that should.
student.
Well, thank you. It's really, truly an honor to be here today, and I've had the opportunity to coach Vince and to be with his family through all these years. You know, my first exposure to Vince was at the Indianapolis Combine, and we sat in that hotel room and interviewed him for about 20 minutes. And when he came in, first thing I said to Scott and the other scouts was, like, it is a waste of time. There's no way he's going to be there when we pick. Just like Robert said, that was absolutely the truth. And we were able to select him with that 21st pick in 2004. That was really, I'd say, in my career, one of the real surprises that I've ever personally been a part of with a draft that that Vince was actually on the board when we selected. So, you know, he came in, and, you know, his rookie year, as good of a defensive lineman as he was at Miami, which I'll get that in a second, you know, we had a pretty good tackle in Ted, and so Vince actually started for us, started in the Super Bowl, started defensive end. And I tell that to our rookies all the time that, you know, no matter how great of a player you are, like Vince was, he actually ended up playing a different position at the beginning of his career than really what ended up being his primary position. But, you know, Vince was a very dominant player at University of Miami. He played a 1-3 technique. They used a scheme where he ran up the field every play. He was very disruptive. He caused a lot of negative plays. And, you know, we played more of a two-gap style, head on the blocker. And, you know, some of our scouts had a little bit of a question of how well he would be able to two-gap just because he didn't do it at Miami. But honestly, take about one play to understand that Vince is as good a two-gapper as probably he's ever played in this game. And he proved that right off the bat. It didn't take him long to adjust our scheme. Vince is one of the most versatile players that I've ever coached. He has a tremendous skill set. He's quick. He's very athletic, light on his feet, runs well, and has obviously tremendous strength and power at the line of scrimmage. So that's a pretty good combination. Another strength of his is his intelligence. And, you know, we ask our players to not to only know what they do, but know what the guys beside them do, understand the overall scheme, and understand situational football. You know, Vince is the best defensive lineman that I've ever coached at that because of his ability to not only know what he was doing, but control the entire line, but also understand, you know, what the situation in the game was, what they were trying to do, and what our opponents are trying to do, how to adjust to it, and so forth. And, you know, when we played them last year, well, actually 2 years ago down in Houston, is the first time we ever ran the actually triple wham, you know, because we knew that he would play the wham block, and then we had the wham off the wham, and so this is really kind of a third variation of it, a little bit of a scheme play. But I just say that in light of the amount of respect that I have for Vince's intelligence, his ability to understand blocking schemes, plays, and just the total concept of football, what it took to win. You know, in our captains' meetings, we have usually five or six captains, depending on the year and the way it falls and so forth. And all the captains always speak in those meetings. I ask every single guy, you know, certain questions about how the team's doing or their position or their group or whatever. But as in any group, certain captains stick out above other captains. And Vince was kind of the captain of the captains. He was the true leader of the team. He was the kind of voice of the team. And, you know, sometimes the captains individually might not want to bring something up to me. And I know that they would, like, Vince, you got to bring this up to coach because I'm not bringing it up. But you need to bring it up. And Vince would be the guy to do that. And that's how much respect they had for him. And I leaned on him very heavily in terms of what the team needed, how to prepare for a game, you know, where we were at a certain point in each week or where we were at each point in the season. And there were a number of times where, you know, Vince would, in those meetings or with the team, would do things like, you know, we'd be playing a team like Indianapolis that had a great quarterback and great skill players. And you know, I would say to Vince, look, Vince, we can't let him run the ball. We got to take care of the running game. We're not going to be able to bring any defensive backs up to stop the running game. He said, Coach, just tell me what you need, and I'll take care of it. And that's the way he was. So, you know, he took care of it with the defense. Like, look, fellas, we got to cover these receivers. They got Wayne. They got Harrison. They got, you know, Clark. They got all these guys. you know, we're not getting any help from anybody. We're the ones that got to stop the run. It's up to us. And he got it done. And so those are the kind of off the field, kind of behind the scene things that Vince brings to a team that you just don't realize. Vince was a very good judge of players and people too. And I remember in would have been 08, maybe about the second day of OTAs, Vince came up to him and he said, "Hey, I like this Mayo kid. I think he's going to be all right." And you know, Gerard is a pretty special player, but that's about how long it took Vince to figure it out, about 2 days of playing with him. And you know, he was very, very astute, very adept at that. And just the Bianca, you know, this is a great moment because I see Bianca, I see David, and I think back to 8 years ago and August 5th when David was born. And Bianca, so that was a hot training camp, which we're not having now, but in that year it was hot, and every day it was, you know. And she comes to training camp, you know, ready to deliver, it looked like, every single day, day after day after day after day after day. And, you know, just felt so bad for her. She came early and stayed late. There was not, like, just show up at the end, you know, last 2 seconds of practice. She was there. And then finally on the 5th, you know, she delivered. And, you know, we're out there at practice 2 days later, and she's back out there again. And I said to Vince, like, this is unbelievable. You know, she's made more practices than, you know, the quarter of our team has. And so at the end of the year, when we give out the Iron Man shirts for the players that don't miss a practice, they're there for every practice. They, you know, not half a practice with a, you know, this or that or anything. They're there for every practice. The entire training camp's an Iron Man t-shirt. And it, you know, it really means a lot. It really means that you've made it through every single day. Without question, we gave one to Bianca because I gave one to Bianca because I had to. I had to. That the effort was superhuman. So this is a great family. They've made a great impact on my life, made a great impact on this team, and they've touched all the players that were with this team. You know, Bianca and Vince would always have players over to their house and do, you know, Thanksgiving dinner and barbecues and all those kind of things. And it was such a positive thing on the team. The players would talk about it, and you know, there'd be a lot of feedback from the positive chemistry that came from there. So, you know, I think when, you know, you see this organization you know, guys like Vince can probably speak more to it than I can because, you know, I've only been in one place for the last 17 years. But, you know, guys that have been other places, you know, say it's, you know, it's such a family here. Everybody's so tight. Everybody, you know, just is so, has each other's back and is, you know, so supportive of each other. But he's the type of player, and his family is kind of what makes it that way. And, you know, that's the way Robert is. That's the way the Kraft family is. That's the way some of our top players are, and Vince certainly would be at the very, very top of that list. So it's a great honor for me, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce Vince today and, you know, just say that it was truly an honor to have coached him. Best defensive lineman I've ever coached, and that's player, leader, on the field, off the field, practice player, and Robert, I have to correct you on this, and this is maybe surprising, but it's true. Vince never one time was fined for being overweight, and never one time missed the conditioning test, ever. And the conditioning test, honestly, wasn't even close. Vince could run. That was never an issue. There was times when he would come in for the weigh-ins, and we'd say, like, man, is he going to make it today? But 11 years, never fined one time for being overweight. Now, I'm not saying he was never overweight. I'm not saying that. I'm saying at weigh-in, he made every weigh-in. So from Linda and I to Vince, Bianca, to family, you know, thank you for everything. Appreciate so much what you've done for us and your career, what you've done for the Patriots. And it's a great honor to introduce Vince, and thank you.
Yeah, I never missed a weigh-in. But catch me 30 minutes later, it might be a different story. That's just being honest. You know, first and foremost, I never looked at my career as an individual. And I told people this plenty of times that if I wanted to be an individual, I could have pursued track and field and shot put because I was pretty good at that. I've always prepared to be the best I can be because of my teammates. You know, I had the best teammates I can possibly have. So not only did they make me great, but in return, I wanted the same thing from them. So thank you to my teammates for pushing me to be great, to be a leader. I will always have memories of just conversations that we have, things we did together, tough times, fun, hard, the daily grind, getting prepared for questions, what Bill's going to ask, have no clue what it's going to be, but he forced us to be great, and that's one thing I always look back to and said, was the reason that we won a lot of games, and it was the reason we was a tight-knit group because Bill forced it on us without knowing. So my teammates made me who I am. After playing 20 years of football, 13 of those years in the NFL, I'm finally calling it quits from a game that I truly, truly, truly love, game that I was committed to, a game that I was dedicated to, a game that I gave all to. I'm calling it quits. I gave this game everything I had day in and day out. I was 100% committed and dedicated to being the best I could be. There were times I would wake up 4 o'clock in the morning just to work out. It was times I would be at the stadium at nights working on something, and we'd run into cleaning people, coaches that were working on game plans, whoever. I would run into these guys. Sometimes we'd work out together. I always found time to improve, not only for myself, but for my teammates. I always wanted to be the best player and the best teammate I could possibly be. I couldn't expect the best from a guy next to me if I couldn't give him the same thing. This game is so demanding, and you have to work to be great. You have to sacrifice a lot, and families as well. But it have to be done to get to the top of the mountain. You have to do what the next man isn't doing. When people sleep, I try to work. Have to always suspect your job was always in jeopardy, and that's what I did every day. There's always a draft. There's always someone that's stronger. There's always somebody that's faster. There's always someone that's more intelligent. I approached every day as my job was being taken. The more I played, the more grind it took each year. Now it's to a point where it's taking a toll on me mentally. Grinding day in and day out. It's not the physical part. Physically I could play football for as long as I want, I believe, and I truly believe that. But mentally it comes a point where you think waking up, what you have to take your body through just to get warmed up. You don't get younger. And over time, it took a toll on me. I never shied away from grind, not once, never. I never shied away from nobody. I never shied away from competing. There wasn't a match that I never thought that I couldn't win. I was a true champion. I believe I was the baddest person on the field at all times. And that's how I handled my business. That's what kept me driving. When I was drafted the season before the Patriots won the Super Bowl, I took it as the New England Patriots just won the Super Bowl and they drafted me. And I took that as a challenge. I said, why would a Super Bowl champion that's already a good organization, already a good team, take a chance on me with the 21st pick to help their team. So obviously it was something there that they saw in me that can help this ball game, ball team, be better. And that challenged me my whole career. Needless to say, my rookie year, I won a Super Bowl, so the monkey was off my back. But at that moment, I was challenged. I've always tried to find small things and any little thing that can always motivate me, to always make me drive and grind and take my game to another level, make my teammates' game get to another level. I always found that. Day in and day out, I found little things that give me the edge that I can bring to teammates just to get them on my level. If I'm thinking someone that might need to pick me up, I found those things. To my family and friends, thank you for the sacrifice over all these years. I know a lot of times was rough with the career I had, but I think at the end of the day, it was worth it. Mr. Kraft, RKK, Thundercat, whatever you want to be called, thank you for giving me the opportunity to live out a dream plenty of kids dream of. I was 4 when I told my father I wanted to become who I am. And thanks to you, I did exactly what I wanted to do. Coach Belichick, thank you for keeping me striving to be great. It was plenty of times that I could have easily been complacent, but not on your watch. You always had a way to get to me. It was funny. It was always a way that you got to me if you tried to or didn't try to. If it was a play, or if it was something that you said, or watching film, or a speech to the meeting, whatever it may be, or play that you pointed out to me, that drove me to be the best I could because I never wanted to let you down. And you made me prove it every time I step on the field. Thank you. To all my teammates who I played with, thank you for listening. I remember sitting in the sun, and the sun looked like a meat market. It was probably like 12 of us in the sun, and the sun was small. I mean, it was just so many people in there that day, and it was OTAs. And I remember telling everybody in there, I said, we're going to win Super Bowl 49. This was in the offseason. I said, we're going to win it because we have chemistry. We have something that a lot of people, a lot of teams wish that they had. We had it. And I saw that right away. And we're talking about OTAs. So I saw something in our team around that time that we was going to win Super Bowl 49. No matter what happened and no matter what people tell you, we won Super Bowl 49. We all had a job to do. We all held each other accountable. We all stepped up in our leadership roles. We never took a day off. We never complained. We never took nothing for granted that year. We grind. So thank you guys for trusting me and proving that we were champs. To the fans, I love you guys from the bottom of my heart. You always treated me and my family with utmost respect, and I love playing for true fans. Thank you for that. I also want to thank the Houston Texans organization, Bob and Janice McNair, for bringing me there, treating me like family. Cal, Hannah, Rick, Billy O'Rack, thank you for allowing me to be part of another great organization. Also, I want to thank Pepper Johnson and Romeo Cannell. If anybody knows Pep, you know Pep liked to talk, and he had a story for days. And we spent a lot of time. I spent a majority of my meeting time listening to old Giants stuff. I mean, that's who Pep was. But at the same time, when it was time to work, we worked. He showed me and taught me no matter what draft pick you were, respect and earn your keeps. That's what Romeo Cornell taught me. I didn't like Romeo at first because Romeo was one of those old schoolers. He liked his veterans, and he treated veterans different. I didn't pout about it. You know, it pissed me off. But at the same time, it taught me you have to earn your keeps at this level, and that's what I did. Anyone can believe that they are good, but believing is different from proving. Believing, it can be in your mind and on your heart, but proving it is by showing it. I wanted to prove from the time I was drafted that I was the right choice for the job. I would cherish every moment I spent with coaches, teammates, fans, friends, family. I had the best coaches and teammates I could ever ask for. I had the best fan that any person can ask for. Lastly, only one thing I regret in my 13 years of playing NFL football is my parents didn't get a chance to see their son live out a dream he told them at the age of 4 I was going to be. Physically, it hurt every day. It hurt by the hour, daily. Not a minute go by. But I know they have the best seat in the house. Thank you, David and Barbara Wilfork. I love you.
Thank you. Vince, how important was it for you to come back here and retire as a member of the Patriots?
It was very important. I spent 11 years here, 11 great years. You know, my resume wouldn't have been what it was without the, you know, New England. And then the majority of my career, this is home to me. So all the memories I made over the years, you know, the guy that you guys seen and the career that I had, it wouldn't happen without the Patriots. So I've always wanted to come back and be a Patriot for life. I never wanted to leave, but things happen. You know, business is business, and it happened. But I know once I retired, I know where I needed to be and where I needed to retire at. It's just so much I have invested in New England, and it was the right thing to do. So it never once crossed my mind where I needed to be and where, you know, retirement should be.
Vince, how gratifying was it as a player when other players looked at you and said this needed to be said to coach? Could you go say it?
You know what? That's I was always real. You know, sometimes people like what I say. Sometimes people don't like what I say. But I always kept it real. But it feels good to have teammates the way I had them. But I knew I had great teammates. A lot of things, you know, from a football standpoint, a team sport, it's a lot of things you can do without. But you can't do without having teammates, you know. I was happy that they felt comfortable enough and trusted me enough that I can talk to coach on any occasion. And I think I proved to them that I had their backing no matter what it was. No matter if they thought it was wrong or whatever it was, they knew I had their back, and I proved that to them. So I gave them a sense of, you know, relaxed to go talk to Bill when I needed to talk to him or talk to whatever coach I needed to be talked to. If people had problems and they didn't know how to talk to, you know, coach and didn't know what to say, I'm glad I was that middleman that can kind of relay things back to the head coach. So I think sometimes a lot of people need that because, you know, a lot of people can't sit up and talk to people or talk to media, have you. A lot of people can't do that. Sometimes it comes natural to people. You know, to me it comes natural. I'm not afraid to say, you know, what's on my heart, or I'm not afraid to stick up for my team, my teammates. Even though if at times Bill didn't agree with it or agree with it, it had to be talked about. So never once did I shy away from that. And my teammates counted on me to be that voice. And I wanted to be everything a teammate needed in me, and that was one of them.
Vince, I want to take you back to 2004 and your private thoughts before you stepped on an NFL field. What kind of private expectations did you have for yourself to get to the next level in terms of accomplishing something, and any sense of surprise at how well it went and what you were able to accomplish?
You know, as an individual, my goal was to be a Super Bowl champ. In college, I was a national championship. I won that. I've been in it, won one, lost one. I wanted to be all pro. I wanted to be a Pro Bowl. But out of all of them, the one thing I wanted the most was being a Super Bowl champion. And that's something that I couldn't have done without my teammates, you know. And I had the luxury to play in four of them, win two of them. You know, in my career, in 13 years, I missed one playoff. And the playoff I missed, we were 11-5. I think it was 6 AFC championships I played in or whatever it is. I mean, the resume, it wouldn't be a resume without the Patriots and without my teammates. But I never looked at this game as being an individual or about me. I was a nose tackle. Nose tackle is not about you. You're not going to get the sacks. You're not going to get the big plays, you know. I've gotten those plays, but it don't come by every game, you know. You can go in the long spell where, you know, I went 2-3 years without a sack. That's a nose tackle, you know. And it been some years I had 3.5 sacks. I had 2 interceptions. I had a touchdown. So nose tackles don't see plays like that often, you know. And when you have the chance to make the plays, you have to be able to capitalize on them. And I think I was. I think that's what I did. When it's time for me to make a play that I needed to make, I made them. I always tell people that, you know, I always wanted to be great. I always wanted to be great. And you can't be great without taking a chance. You can't. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you think you are. But if you're not taking a chance, you're not great. You can never hear an athlete that's great saying that I never taken a chance. You know, sometimes you have to take chances to be great in life, to be great at whatever you want to do. You have to take those chances. And I was a player, even though I was a nose tackle, I took chances. And I think that separates me from a lot of players. I take chances. I can sit up here and tell you I did that. But the chances I took, I benefited from them. I made the plays. I made some happen. Sometimes I took them, and I didn't. And Bill cursed me out. But I wasn't never afraid to be great. I mean, if that's how I look at it, that's how I viewed it. If I wanted to be something, I had to do whatever I can to prove that I wanted to be that. And that's what I did.
Vince, over here. Can you talk about your friendship with Tom Brady, what it meant for you to play with him, and the fact that he's still playing now?
Yeah, well, I had the luxury to play with the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, hands down. When you could take a quarterback and give him different receivers and put him in different offenses and day in and day out and every year do what you do, you're the greatest. I mean, Tom don't have the Randy Mosses and, you know, the Jerry Rices and stuff like that. You know, he have Gronk, he have Edelman. He have guys that prove to him that they can win. And to do that day in and day out with some guys that come from other teams that people overlook, hands down, he's the greatest. So if you give him 4 top receivers in the game on one field, what you think will happen? Some of these quarterbacks we talk about that's supposed to be the greatest, they had that around them. They had three, four targets around them that was Hall of Famers, that was the best of the best. They had that. Tom don't. You know, Tom don't. Not saying they're not good or great, but he don't have the Jerry Rices. He don't have the Randy Mosses anymore. When he did have Randy Moss and Wes Welker, he broke the record. So if he had that today, and he's breaking record with what he has, and those guys, you tell what, they made a name for themselves. I respect their game. They becoming top receivers in this game because they produce. And hats off to them. I've seen Edelman. I've seen Amendola. I've seen them come in and kind of be pushed to the curve. I seen Edelman when he was just a special team guy or he was hurt and, you know, he was waiting for his turn. I seen that. I've talked to him. And now his time is now. And he's showing the world that he's a good receiver. So, to me, to share the locker room, to share conversations, and to play with the greatest that ever played for 11 years, I'm going to always cherish that.
Vince, you spoke very eloquently about your parents a few minutes ago. As you look back in your entire career, is there any singular moment on the field during that career where you could see your parents, sense them, feel them?
Every game. Like I said, it's not a day that don't go by that I don't think of them. I see them in meetings, think of them. Just sometimes when you play this game and you play sports, you get caught up. From reality. It's easy to get caught up from reality. And sometimes I took time out to kind of just think about 50,000 plus fans coming to watch you play, how many fans that's wearing your jersey, how many fans that shook your hand or got an autograph or took a picture. I took time out and I thought about all that. And when I do that, it always brings me back to square one. They're not here. Physically, leaving games and people having family in the hallways and waiting for them. I see parents and they hug and they kiss their kids. I don't have that. I didn't have that. And it sucks, you know. And it bothered me, but I know they're here with me, but just not physically. And I think sometimes we get lost in those moments and we forget that real stuff goes on. You get blinded, you know, because you get caught up in doing your job and playing football and this and that. I always took a time to just step back and just look at everything and observe everything and where my life is and what I didn't have. I always took those moments. So it wasn't a day, it wasn't a game that I didn't think about my parents and wishing that they were here.
Vince, you won and started on a Super Bowl champion on the way in, and you won and started on a Super Bowl champion on the way out of here 11 years later. That just doesn't happen in this game. Is that what you think your greatest legacy in this game is?
You know, looking back at my career and playing my first career game in the NFL, I played here, and playing my last game of my career, I played here. I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but I'm happy I went out the way I did. I'm happy that I got a chance to play and end my career literally on the field that I started on. That's something that's going to always stick with me. I have a bunch of memories. That's going to be a memory that's going to always stick with me. Got a chance to play in front of two crabs that night. In the playoff, you know, you had a Houston crowd, you had a New England crowd. I'm playing for the Houston Texans, and I played 11 years. So I had everybody in one place to witness my last game. That's pretty awesome.
Vince, besides maybe some extra time to grill, what are your plans in retirement, and will you call New England home?
I don't have no plans. My plans is for 20 years I've been on a schedule. And last thing I'm going to do is jump into something right now and get back on the schedule. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to take some time. It might be a year or so. I'm going to take off and kind of do things how I want to do it, you know. I wake up when I want to, fish when I want to, grill when I want to, golf when I want to, do what I want to do, you know. Just live life, you know. Let my body relax and let my body get a feel of what life without having no workouts and no schedule, being here, being there, being there. Just let my body just relax and just go, you know. So I don't know how long that'll take. I wanted it to be a year, but who knows? I might get antsy to get into something, or if there's something come up that's a deal come up that's too good to pass up, I might get into something. But as of right now, I just want to relax. I just want to do something I haven't done in 20 years.
Vince, whose idea was it for the retirement video, and how much fun did you have making it?
Which one, Kingsford?
The Kingsford, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that was a collab with myself and Kingsford. Everybody know I like to grill, and, you know, grilling, when you grill, you got to grill with the best, you know. So Kingsford is the best. have a good time. It came out awesome. We had a good time. You know, I've done work with him in the past and everything, so it's fun people to work with. I can work with fun and happy people, you know. And that was just one of those things. I wanted to go out on my terms. I didn't want to wear no suit and no jacket. I didn't want to do that. I mean, a lot of people, you know, do that and whatever. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to put on no suit and jacket. I wanted to come up here and do it my way. I wanted to go out my way. And that's what I did with Kingsford. I did it my way. So sorry if I disappointed you guys in the suit and tie, but it was my way.
Hi, Vince. Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Like you said, 2004, won the Super Bowl, came close two other times before you won 10 years later. How much of that took a toll, you know, for you, family, everything, just to get back to that top of the mountain?
Well, I mean, it's hard to win. I think sometimes it looks so easy for, you know, for teams, especially like New England, day in and day out, you know, they win, you know, and it look easy. But winning is the hardest thing. So to get to a Super Bowl, best of the best, it's hard to do. It is, and as like I said, is this game is so demanding that the sacrifices you have to give to stand on top of that mountain and roar, it's a lot of sacrifices. You know, it's a lot of treatment, it's a lot of film study, it's a lot of practice, it's a lot of watching film. It's so much that goes into it just playing on Sundays or Monday nights. It's a lot. So when you get a chance to be in those situations and in that spotlight, you have to be ready for it. You know, and two times we weren't ready for it. Two times we were ready for it, you know. And I could just only sit here and just think, you know, I lost two Super Bowls. Some kind of people play, don't even get to one, you know. But I was in four, you know, like I said. And I was in six AFC championship, whatever you name it, a game away from getting there. So I had a great run. I had a great run. But over time, I never looked at it and said, you know what, it's too hard to get there, so it's time for me to call it quits. I didn't look at it like that. It's just the grind that it takes to be at your best. I always told people, if I'm not at my best, I can't play this game. I'm not for to take no money from anybody and steal no money from anybody if I'm not at my best. That's personal for me. I think it's wrong, but a lot of guys don't. But that's how I am. That's how I think. So when I felt like I was tired of the grind and mentally I was exhausted and I didn't want to do anymore, I call it quits. I could have easily played a couple more years and stole some money from here and there. I could have done all of that if I wanted to. Physically, I'm 100% healthy. Nothing hurt on me. I can go lift weights. I can go run. I can do whatever I want to do right now as we speak. But the grind mentally, that's the one thing. Because mentally, if you're not into it mentally, you ain't going to do nothing but hurt yourself. and make a fool of yourself. So I didn't want to play that game.
Hey, Vince, you've watched the Patriots from a distance the last couple of years, but being out at practice today, has anything changed with Bill Belichick, or is he still the same guy? And what do you think of these 2017 Patriots?
Still the same guy, and that's one thing I always respect for Bill. He is very consistent. I don't care where you're from. I don't care how many years you've been in the league. I don't care if you're an all-star or if you're a rookie. He's very consistent of how he's running ship, how he wants practice to go, what he expects from his teammates, from his players. He make that understood right away, and he hasn't changed a bit, not at all.
Vince, how about in terms of this team, from the little time that you've spent around them, what has struck you about this group? And I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to them as a group, but what message would you share with them?
Well, this is my first time. I spent like an hour with them today and kind of just talking through different people, coaches and some players, and meeting some of the new guys and stuff like that. If I had to tell them anything, it's just prove you're good. Prove you are champions. Don't believe it. Just prove it. And like I said, it's easy to believe in your heart and in your mind that you're good and great. You can believe that, but prove it. I want to see it. Everybody else want to see it. So I don't want to talk about how good we're going to be. Prove it to me. And that's what I would tell them. Prove your next move. Prove that you want to be Super Bowl champs. Prove it. And that's what I would give them. Good.